Radio Krishna presents stories about Lord Krishna from the book Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust of Los Angeles, California. Derived from the Vedic scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, they were written in Sanskrit several thousand years ago by Srila Dwaipayan Vyasadeva and were translated into English by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Your narrator is Amala Bhaktadas. And now today's episode entitled, Lord Krishna Blesses Sudama. My name is Sudama, and the story I am about to tell took place about 5,000 years ago, when the Supreme Lord Krishna had appeared on earth. At that time, I was a householder of the Brahmin caste. Not busy accumulating wealth for very comfortable living, I was satisfied by the income which automatically came to me according to my destiny. I did not exert myself for more material happiness, but used my time to advance myself in Krishna consciousness. Externally, I appeared to be very poor because I had no rich clothes and could not provide a very rich dress for my wife. Because our material condition was not very opulent, we were not even eating sufficiently, and thus both my wife and I appeared to be very thin. My wife was not very anxious for her personal comfort, but she felt very concerned for me. She was trembling due to her weak health, and although she did not like to dictate to me, one day she said,
"My dear Sudama, I know that Lord Krishna, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, is your personal friend. You are also a devotee of Lord Krishna, and he is always ready to help his devotee. Even if you think that you are not rendering him any devotional service, still you are surrendered to him, and the Lord is the protector of the surrendered soul. He is very kind to qualified Brahmins. You are the most fortunate person because you have as your friend Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the only shelter for personalities like you, because you are fully surrendered to him. You are saintly, learned, and fully in control of your senses. Under the circumstances, Lord Krishna is your only shelter. Please, therefore, go to him. I am sure that he will immediately understand your impoverished position. You are also a householder. Therefore, without any money, you are in a distressed condition. But as soon as he understands your position, he will certainly give you sufficient riches so that you can live very comfortably. Lord Krishna is now the king of the Bhoj, Vrishni, and Andak dynasties, and I have heard that he never leaves his capital city, Dwarka. He is living there without outside engagements. He is so kind and liberal that he immediately gives everything, even his personal self, to any person who surrenders to him. When he is prepared to give himself personally to his devotee, then there is nothing wonderful in him giving some material riches. Of course, he does not give much material wealth to his devotee if the devotee is not very advanced spiritually, but I think in your case, he knows perfectly well how advanced you are in devotional service. Therefore, he will not hesitate to award you some material benefit for the bare necessities of life." In this way, my wife again and again requested, in great humility and submission, that I go to Lord Krishna.
I thought that there was no need to ask for any material benefit from Lord Krishna, but I was induced by the repeated requests of my wife. Moreover, I thought, if I go there, I shall be able to see the Lord personally. Now that will be a great opportunity, even if I don't ask any material benefit from him. When I decided to go to Krishna, I asked my wife if she had anything in the home that I could offer to Krishna, because I could not go without a gift for him. My wife immediately collected 4 palms full of chipped rice from her neighboring friends and tied it in a small cloth like a handkerchief and gave it to me to present to Krishna. Without waiting any longer, I took the gift and began to proceed toward Dwarka to see my Lord. While I was proceeding, I was absorbed in the thought of how I could be able to see Lord Krishna. I had no thought within my heart other than him. It was, of course, very difficult to enter the palaces of the kings of the Yadu dynasty, but Brahmins were allowed to visit. So I, along with other Brahmins, had to pass through 3 military encampments. In each camp, there were very big gates, and I also had to pass through them. After the gates and the camps, there were 16,000 big palaces, which were the residential quarters of Lord Krishna's 16,000 queens. I entered one palace, which was very gorgeously decorated. When I entered it, I felt that I was swimming in the ocean of transcendental pleasure. I felt myself constantly diving and surfacing in that transcendental ocean. At that time, Lord Krishna was sitting on the bedstead of his wife, Queen Rukmini. Even from a considerable distance, he could see me coming to his home, and he could recognize me as his friend. Lord Krishna immediately left his seat and came forward to receive me. Upon reaching me, he embraced me with his 2 arms. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure, and yet he himself felt great pleasure upon embracing me, a poor Brahmin, because he remembered me as his dear friend. Then Lord Krishna seated me on his own bedstead and personally brought me all kinds of fruits and drinks, as is proper in receiving a Brahmin. Lord Krishna is the supreme pure, but because he was playing the role of an ordinary human being, he immediately washed my feet and for his own purification, sprinkled the water onto his own head. After this, the Lord smeared my body with different kinds of scented pulp, such as sandalwood, aguru, and saffron. He immediately burned several kinds of scented incense and, as is usual, offered me artic with burning lamps. After thus offering me an adequate welcome, and after I had taken food and drink, Lord Krishna said, "My dear friend, it is a great fortune that you have come here." Being very poor, I was not dressed nicely. My clothing was torn and dirty, and my body was also very lean and thin. I appeared not to be very clean, and because of my weak body, my bones were distinctly visible. The goddess of fortune, Rukmini Devi, personally began to fan me with the chamra fan, but the other women in the palace became astonished at Lord Krishna's behavior in receiving me in that way. They were surprised to see how eager Lord Krishna was to welcome me. They began to wonder how Lord Krishna could personally receive a Brahmin who was poor, not very neat or clean, and poorly dressed. at the same time, they could realize that I must have performed many spiritual activities. Otherwise, why was Lord Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, taking so much care for me? They were surprised to see that I was seated on Lord Krishna's bedstead. And they were even more surprised to see that Lord Krishna had embraced me exactly as he embraced his elder brother Balaram. Because Lord Krishna used to embrace only Rukmini or Balaram and no one else. After receiving me so nicely, Lord Krishna said, "My dear Brahmin friend, you are a most intelligent personality, and you know very well the principles of religious life. I believe that after you finished your education at the house of our teacher, and after you sufficiently compensated him, you must have gone back to your home and accepted a suitable wife. I know very well that from the beginning you are not at all attached to the materialistic way of life, nor did you desire to be very opulent materially, and therefore you are in need of money. In this material world, persons who are not attached to material opulence are very rarely found. Such unattached persons haven't the least desire to accumulate wealth and prosperity for sense pleasure. But sometimes they collect money just to exhibit the exemplary life of a householder. They show how, by proper distribution of wealth, one can become an ideal householder, and at the same time become a great devotee. Such ideal householders are to be considered followers of my footsteps. I hope, my dear Brahmin friend, you remember all those days of our school life when both you and I were living together at the boarding house. Actually, whatever knowledge both you and I received in our life was accumulated in our student life. The spiritual master is he who initiates us into transcendental knowledge, and he is to be worshipped as much as I am. The spiritual master may be more than one. The master who instructs disciples about spiritual matters, well, he is called a Shiksha Guru. And the master who initiates the disciple is called Diksha Guru. Both of them are my representatives. There may be many spiritual masters who instruct, but the initiator spiritual master is always one. A human being who takes advantage of these spiritual masters and, by receiving proper knowledge from them, crosses the ocean of material existence, well, he is to be understood as having properly utilized his human form of life. He has practical knowledge that the ultimate interest of life, which is to be gained only in this human form, is to achieve spiritual perfection and thus be transferred back home, back to Godhead. My dear friend, I think you remember our activities during the days when we were living as students. Do you not? Do you remember that once we went out to collect fuel from the forest on the order of our guru's wife? Do you remember that day? While we were collecting the dried wood, we by chance entered the dense forest and became lost. And there was that unexpected dust storm, and then the clouds and the lightning in the sky and that explosive sound of thunder. Do you remember that? Then the sunset came, and oh, we were just lost in that dark, dark jungle. And after this, do you remember that severe rainfall, the downpour? Oh, the whole ground was just overflooded with water, and we could not trace out our way to return to our guru's ashram. Do you remember that heavy rainfall? Actually, it was not even a rainfall. It was, I guess you could call it a devastation. On account of the dust storm and the heavy rain, oh, we began to feel so greatly pained. And in whichever direction we turned, We were just bewildered. We didn't know what to do. In that distressed condition, remember how we took each other's hand and we looked here and there trying to find our way out? Oh, we passed the whole night in that way. And early in the morning, when our absence, it became known to our guru. He and his other disciples, they went out to search for us. And when they reached us in the jungle, they found us to be very distressed. With great compassion, our guru said,
"My dear boys, it is very wonderful that you have suffered so much trouble for me. Everyone likes to take care of his body as his first consideration. But you are so good and faithful to your guru that, without caring for bodily comforts, you have taken so much trouble for me. I am also glad to see that bona fide students like you will undergo any kind of trouble for the satisfaction of the spiritual master. That is the way for a bona fide disciple to become free from his debt to the spiritual master. It is the duty of the disciple to dedicate his life to the service of the spiritual master. Oh, my dear boys, I am greatly pleased by your action, and I bless you. May all your desires and ambitions be fulfilled. May the understanding of the Vedas, which you have learned from me, always continue to remain within your memory, so that at every moment you can remember the teachings of the Vedas and quote their instructions without difficulty. Thus you will never be disappointed in this life or in the next."
Lord Krishna continued,
"My dear friend, you may remember that many such incidents occurred while we were in the ashram of our spiritual master. Both of us can realize that without the blessings of the spiritual master, no one can be happy. By the mercy of the spiritual master and by his blessings, one can achieve peace and prosperity and be able to fulfill the mission of human life."
On hearing this, I replied, "My dear Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Spiritual Master of everyone. And since I was fortunate enough to live with you in the house of our Guru, I think I have nothing more to do in the matter of prescribed Vedic duties. My dear Lord, the Vedic hymns, ritualistic ceremonies, religious activities, and all other necessities for the perfection of human life, including economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, they are all derived from one source, your Supreme Personality. All the different processes of life are ultimately meant for the understanding of your personality. In other words, they are the different parts of your transcendental form. And yet you played the role of a student and lived with us in the house of the Guru. This means that you adopted all these pastimes for your pleasure only. Otherwise, there was no need for your playing the role of a human being."
Lord Krishna was engaged for a long time in talking with me about our past association. Then, just to enjoy the company of an old friend, he began to smile and asked, "My dear friend, what have you brought for me? Has your wife given you some nice edible for me?" While he was addressing me, Lord Krishna was looking at me and smiling with great love. He continued, "My dear friend, you must have brought some gift for me from your home. I can see you look like you're hiding something." Lord Krishna knew that I was hesitating to present him the paltry chipped rice, which was actually unfit for his eating. Understanding my mind, the Lord said, "My dear friend, certainly I am not in need of anything, but if my devotee gives me something as an offering of love, even though it may be very insignificant, I accept it with great, great pleasure. On the other hand, if a person is not a devotee, even though he may offer me very valuable, valuable things, I do not like to accept them. I actually accept only things which are offered to me in devotion and love. Otherwise, however valuable the thing may be, I do not accept it. If my pure devotee offers me even the most insignificant things like, a little flower, a little piece of leaf, a little water, but if he saturates the offering in devotional love, then I not only gladly accept such an offering, but I eat it with great pleasure." Lord Krishna assured me that he would be very glad to accept the chipped rice which I had brought from home. Yet, out of great shyness, I hesitated to present it to the Lord. I was thinking, how can I offer such insignificant things to Krishna? So I simply bowed my head. Lord Krishna, the Supersoul, he knows everything in everyone's heart. He knows everyone's determination and everyone's want. He knew, therefore, the reason for my coming to him. He knew that, driven by extreme poverty, I had come there at the request of my wife. Thinking of me as his very dear class friend, he knew that my love for him as a friend was never tainted by any desire for material benefit. Krishna then snatched the bundle of chipped rice which was hanging on my shoulder, packed in one corner of my wrapper, and he said, "What is this? Oh, my dear friend, you have brought me nice, palatable chipped rice. I consider that this quantity of chipped rice will not only satisfy me, but will satisfy the whole creation. For when I am satisfied, I give satisfaction to all beings." While the Lord was speaking to me, he ate one morsel of chipped rice from my bundle. And when he attempted to eat a second morsel, Rukmini, the goddess of fortune herself, checked the Lord by catching hold of his hand. After touching Krishna's hand, Rukmini said, "My dear Lord, this one morsel of chipped rice is sufficient to cause him who offered it to become very opulent in this life, and to continue his opulence into the next life. Because this food is offered to you with love and devotion, and you are pleased with it, I am now greatly obliged to Sudama." I passed that night at the house of Lord Krishna, and while I was there, I felt as if I were living in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Actually, I was living in Vaikuntha, because wherever Lord Krishna, the original Narayan, and Rukmini, the goddess of fortune, live, that is not different from the spiritual planet, Vaikuntha. I did not appear to have received anything substantial from Lord Krishna while I was at his place, and yet I did not ask anything from the Lord. The next morning I started for my home, thinking always about my reception by Krishna, and thus I became merged in transcendental bliss. All the way home I was simply remembering the dealings of the Lord, and I was feeling very happy to have seen him. I began to think as follows. It is most pleasurable to see Lord Krishna, who is most devoted to the Brahmins. How great a lover he is of the Brahminical culture. He is the supreme Brahmin himself, yet he reciprocates with the Brahmins. He also respects the Brahmins so much that he embraced me to his chest, me, a poor Brahmin, although he never embraces anyone to his chest except the goddess of fortune. How can there be any comparison between me and the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the only shelter of the goddess of fortune? And yet, considering me as a Brahmin, he embraced me with heartfelt pleasure in his two transcendental arms. Oh, Lord Krishna was so kind to me that he allowed me to sit on the same bedstead where the goddess of fortune lies down. He considered me, to be his real brother. How can I appreciate my obligation to him? And when I was tired, Srimati Rukmini, the goddess of fortune, she actually began to fan me, holding the chamra whisk in her own hand. She never considered her exalted position as the first queen of Lord Krishna. I was rendered service by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by massaging my legs and feeding me with his own hand, he practically worshipped me. Aspiring for elevation to the heavenly planets, or liberation, or all kinds of material opulences, or perfection in the mystic yogic powers, everyone throughout the universe worships the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Yet the Lord was so kind to me that he did not give me even a penny, knowing very well that I am a poverty-stricken man who, if I got some money, I might become so puffed up and mad after material opulence, and then forget him. Thinking in this way, I gradually reached my own home. But on reaching it, I saw that everything was wonderfully changed. I saw that in place of my cottage, there were big palaces made of valuable stones and jewels, glittering like the sun, moon, and rays of fire. Oh, not only were there big palaces, but at intervals there were beautifully decorated parks in which many beautiful men and women were strolling. In those parks, there were nice lakes full of lotus flowers and beautiful lilies, and there were flocks of multicolored birds. Oh, seeing the wonderful conversion of my native place, I began to think to myself, oh, how am I seeing all these changes? Does this place belong to me or to someone else? If it is the same place where I used to live, then how has it so wonderfully changed? While I was considering this, a group of beautiful men and women, with features resembling those of the demigods, accompanied by musical chanters, approached to welcome me. All were singing auspicious songs. My wife became very glad on hearing the tidings of my arrival, and with great haste
She also came out of the palace. Oh, my wife. My wife appeared so beautiful that it seemed as if the goddess of fortune herself had come to receive me. As soon as she saw me present before her, well, tears of joy began to fall from her eyes, and her voice became so choked up that she could not even address me. She simply closed her eyes in ecstasy. But with great love and affection, she bowed down before me, and within herself, she thought of embracing me. She was fully decorated with a gold necklace and ornaments, and while standing among the maidservants, oh, she appeared like the wife of a demigod just alighting from an airplane. I was so surprised to see my wife so beautiful and in great affection, and without saying a word, I entered the palace with her. Upon entering my personal apartment, I saw that it was not an apartment, but the residence of the King of Heaven. The palace was surrounded by, oh, many columns of jewels. The couches and the bedsteads, they were made of ivory, bedecked with gold and jewels. And the bedding, oh, it was as white as the foam of milk and as soft as a lotus flower. There were many whisks hanging from golden rods and many golden thrones with sitting cushions as soft as the lotus flower. In various places, there were velvet and silken canopies with laces of pearls hanging all around. The structure of the building was standing on first-class transparent marble with engravings made of emerald stones. All the women in the palace, they were carrying lamps made of valuable jewels, and the flames and the jewels combined to produce a wonderfully brilliant light. When I saw my position suddenly change to one of opulence, and when I could not determine the cause for such a sudden change, I began to consider very gravely how it had happened. Thus began to think. From the beginning of my life, I have been extremely poverty-stricken. So what could be the cause of such great and sudden opulence? I do not find any cause other than the all-merciful glance of my friend Lord Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Certainly these are gifts of Lord Krishna's causeless mercy. The Lord is self-sufficient, the husband of the goddess of fortune. He can understand the mind of his devotee, and he sumptuously fulfills the devotee's desires. My beautiful dark friend Krishna is far more liberal than the cloud, which can fill up the great ocean with water. When the Lord receives a little thing in love and affection from his devotee, He considers it a great and valuable gift. I had simply offered him a morsel of chipped rice, and in exchange he has given me opulences greater than the opulence of the King of Heaven. I pray to have the friendship of Lord Krishna and to engage in his service and to surrender fully unto him in love and affection, life after life. I do not want any opulence. I only desire not to forget his service. I simply wish to be associated with his pure devotees. Oh, may my mind and activities be always engaged in his service.
The unborn supreme personality of Godhead Krishna knows that many great personalities have fallen from their positions because of extravagant opulence. Therefore, even when his devotee asks for some opulence from him, the Lord sometimes does not give it. He is very cautious about his devotees. Because a devotee who is yet immature in his devotional service may, if offered great opulence, fall from his position due to being in the material world. The Lord does not offer opulence to him. This is another manifestation of the causeless mercy of the Lord upon his devotee. His first interest is that the devotee may not fall. He is exactly like a well-wishing father who does not give much wealth to his immature son, but who, when the son is grown up and knows how to spend money, gives him the whole treasury house. So I pray that whatever wealth I have received from the Lord, I do not use for my extravagant sense gratification, but for the service of the Lord. I thus live very peacefully with my wife, enjoying all the opulent facilities as prasadam or mercy of the Lord. I realize that although Lord Krishna is unconquerable, he nevertheless agrees to be conquered by his devotees. I realized how kind Lord Krishna was to me, and so I was always in trance, constantly thinking of him. By such constant association, whatever darkness of material contamination was remaining in my heart, it was completely cleared away, and very shortly I was transferred to the spiritual kingdom. Whoever hears this story will know how affectionate Lord Krishna is and will become qualified to be transferred to the spiritual world where the Lord lives with his devotees, forever engaging in loving pastimes with them. So let us always glorify him by chanting his holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
This story was entitled Lord Krishna Blesses Sudama and was presented by Radio Krishna and produced by Krishna Productions at the KHQN Studios in Los Angeles, California. It was derived from the book Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, written by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles, California. The musical selections and engineering were under the direction of Vaibhavi Devidasi, and the story adaptation for radio and voice characterizations were performed by your narrator, Amala Bhaktadas.
Hare Krishna.